Thank you. Thank you, Isabel. So today I want to talk to you about the results of a study we've been doing for about a year and a half of Philadelphia's calorie labeling law that that was implemented in early 2010. Let me begin by acknowledging my my marvelous team of collaborators, headed by Brian Elbel, who's a behavioral economist at the medical school and at the Wagner Public Service School at NYU, and funded by NIH. As you know, calorie labeling is the first large-scale public policy to address obesity by focusing on the food environment in the U.S. This is a very traditional educational approach. The premise of calorie labeling is that people don't have information they need, and that if they had that information, they would make wiser, more healthy choices. But of course, nutrition information is only one of many factors that influence food choice. And for calorie labeling to work, at least these three things have to be true. People must not know now how many calories are in the food they're eating. They must be able to process that information if we give it to them, right? They must be able to say to themselves, you know, gee, a McDonald's quarter pounder is about 510 calories. That's a lot or that's a little. And how does that fit with the rest of the food I'm eating? And how much food do I need every day? And probably the most important assumption here is that the information deficit matters significantly relative to all of the other factors that might influence food choice, issues of cost and time and food availability. And, of course, we all want to start a diet. We all want to eat better, but often we want to do that tomorrow rather than today. So we have very strong present biased preferences. So labeling, at least as an isolated policy, has a pretty tough road ahead of it if it's going to influence significantly calorie consumption. So calorie labeling in Philadelphia, the law required chains with more than 15 locations nationally to post caloric content of all the regular menu items, and to post using the same font and format as the price. As I said, this kicked in early 2010 when enforcement began in February, and of course this is a kind of harbinger of the imminent federal policy. There have been some previous studies, as previously noted by other speakers. These are the studies of calorie labeling in the wild. Brian Elbel, the PI of this project, published a study of New York City calorie labeling that did not find a significant impact on calorie consumption of calorie labeling in the city. There is a recent working paper of the impact of New York City labeling on Starbucks calorie consumption that did show a small decrease in calories purchased. And there's an ongoing New York City Department of Health study whose results are still forthcoming, which is a receipt collection. So just to give you a sense of how the calories look in Philly, you can see here's the John Travolta Royale with cheese option, and you can see the very large range of calories for meals versus the much smaller sandwich calories. And as good behavioral economists, we should be immediately concerned that there might be an anchoring effect when people see huge calorie ranges and then a much smaller sandwich calorie amount. It's conceivable, and we don't know a lot about how people are processing this kind of information. It's conceivable, certainly, that people are looking at those numbers and thinking that the 510 calorie option is the diet option or the healthy option here. Here's what the calories look like on a McDonald's menu. Note that the yellow calorie information doesn't appear to be quite the same font and format as the pricing information. You see a little thing that looks like a yellow smiley face, but that's actually a little yellow circle that says CAL inside. It's a very busy sign It's certainly not as readable as we might like. Here's what it looks like on a TGI Fridays menu. The top item is the most unhealthful item on Fitness Magazine's top 30 unhealthy items in American restaurants. It's a Jack Daniel's ribs and shrimp, tipping the scales at 1,910 calories for a meal. There's a whole day. And there you see the very broad range. You know, Lord knows if you leave with six donuts, whether you're getting 900 calories or three times that much. So our study employed a difference in differences design. So we went in search of a city that was as similar demographically to Philadelphia as we could find, which turned out to be Baltimore. And then we went into both cities, both before Philadelphia calorie labeling and after Philadelphia calorie labeling occurred, and did two kinds of surveys. We did a population-based random digit dial phone survey and also an exit interview survey at right outside of McDonald's, Burger King's, and KFC restaurants in both cities. And we also collected receipts and tallied calorie amounts. This gives you a sense of the timing of the data collection and also the magnitude. So you can see that across both kinds of surveys, both cities and both time periods, we had several thousand data points. We've talked about that. So let me begin. I'm going to begin by talking about the point of purchase sample and study, and if I have a moment, I'll talk about the phone survey as well. You can see that the point of purchase sample was predominantly male, 70% black. Most people had a high school degree or less. This gives you a sense of the amount of reliance on fast food restaurants in this population. So you can see here that fully three-quarters of our point of purchase sample were eating in big chain fast food restaurants five or more times a week. About 40% were eating in fast food restaurants 10 or more times a week. And here you can see really unfortunately our only unambiguous impact finding for Philadelphia calorie labeling. So you see Philadelphia, Baltimore, pre-post. So the dark bars are pre. So in the pre period in late 2009, 10 to 14% of people in each of the cities said that they had noticed calorie information. It's conceivable that there was some calorie information in some places, but this is a not unusual finding for the precondition for calorie labeling. And then in the presence of calorie labeling in Philadelphia, that number bumps up to 37%. So the overall difference in difference impact is an impact of 30 percentage points. More people saw calorie labeling than we would expect had Philadelphia observed the same trend as Baltimore during this period. And here's the overall impact of calorie labeling on calories purchased. So you can see that in the pre-period in both Philadelphia and Baltimore, meals averaged about 900 calories per. And each city experienced a small but statistically significant decrease in the number of calories per meal in the post-period, leaving us with a non-significant difference actually in the wrong direction of 19 calories over this period of time as a difference in difference impact. This is a not unusual pattern. Remember that our pre-period was in November, December of 2009, and our post-period was in June, July of 2010. There's probably a holiday effect here. People eat more around the holidays. There may also be a seasonal effect. People tend to eat less in hot summer months. So if we had not had Baltimore as the comparison city, we would have concluded I think wrongly, that that the Philadelphia calorie labeling law had a small impact, a significant impact. As it is, our conclusion is, sadly, it did not have an impact. Let's look for a moment a little bit more at that 37% of people in Philadelphia in the calorie labeling regime who said they saw calorie labeling. The second circle disaggregates that 37% a little bit, and you can see that 13% of people walking out of these fast food restaurants in central cities, in central Philly, said that labeling had mattered to their purchase. And then that third circle further disaggregates that 13%. You can see that 10% of people overall walking out of fast food restaurants in Philly saw the calorie labeling, said it mattered to their purchase, and that they used the information to purchase fewer calories. That little sliver of 3% are the people who said that indeed they used the calorie information they saw to purchase more calories. You have to put this in context. These are relatively poor central city neighborhoods where people are where many people are probably trying to maximize calorie density and minimize cost for food. So we do have a self-report that suggests, at least by self-report, that there's an impact. And to just give this its due for a moment, there are a couple of possibilities here. One possibility is that there's a shift between subgroups in who eats less and who eats more, and that they all balance out. That's not the case because our subgroup analysis showed no difference whatsoever for any subgroup, including subgroup based on BMI profile. It's also possible that the calorie labeling law might have driven some people, some nutrition-sensitive people, away from fast food restaurants, and that those people averaged a little lower in calories than the pre-calorie labeling average, and then people lowered their calories in response to the calorie labeling, and the net of that was that there was no overall impact on calorie consumption per meal bought in fast food restaurants. We know that that's not the case from our phone survey, which showed no impact on the probability of going to a fast food restaurant, no impact on the frequency of going to fast food restaurants. So sadly, we believe this finding over this self-reported finding. You can see also the people who we're interested in who at least saw calorie labeling. Women had 40% higher odds of seeing calorie labeling. Interestingly enough, almost twice the odds of seeing calorie labeling in Burger King's as opposed to McDonald's, and that's in accord actually with your readability finding of those two restaurants. People with higher education levels are much more likely to see it, exactly the people we might care less about, given that they have greater access to that information anyway and would tend to know. Whites more than blacks. And again, unfortunately, there is no difference in seeing the calorie labeling by BMI profile. Again, no difference in subgroup impacts anyway. We sliced it, gender, race, age, education, whether someone limited their eating to control weight, whether they believed they would gain weight, whether they're having a meal versus a snack, et cetera. I will go over our... So the overall findings are, no impact on the probability of going to fast food restaurants from our phone survey. Again, from our phone survey, no impact on the frequency of eating, no impact on calories at the point of purchase, though there was a small decrease in both cities over this period of time. 37% of customers reported seeing calorie information, and 10% reported purchasing fewer calories due to calorie restriction. Thanks.